Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast.
My name is Lauren Cortizo.
And I'm Robin Dipovic.
And we're very excited because today we have a guest. But before we dive in, just as a reminder, In Phase is a podcast, a space, and a community of women who are passionate about embracing all phases of their cycles, their bodies, and their lives. And we're also very excited about embracing friends. And today we get to welcome the ultimate friend of the pod.
She is a friend. She is a fellow podcaster. She is a content creator. She edited the first batch of episodes that you guys saw for In Phase. Her name is Cammie Arnold Scott, and we are obsessed with her.
Hi, guys.
This podcast literally wouldn't exist without Cammie.
That's not true.
The flowers, all of the flowers for you. It quite
literally is. You guys, Cammie really did edit all six of the first batch of our episodes, which is no small task. That's like 10, 15 hours of work. She sent us an email once that was my favorite email, or it was a text. And it was after she had been editing for a while. And she goes, if I hear you guys say, we'll fix it in post one more time on this podcast, when I'm the post, I was like, that's fair.
It was constant. It was like, whatever. We'll fix it in post.
She's got it. No, I was
like, we didn't at that point even know who she was. We're like, we'll find someone to edit this. Little did we know we would just like ask a really big favor of a really sweet friend. So Cammie, welcome to the pod. We're so happy that you're our first guest.
I feel so honored. I've loved editing it because then I got to really listen to it in depth over and over and over.
And then again,
and then again.
But I'm a fan of the pod, so I'm excited to be here.
And Cammie has her own podcast with her wife, Taryn, who we also love.
But did not edit, so she doesn't get that much credit.
Did not edit. And when I went to dinner with Cammie and Taryn a couple of weeks ago, I was like thanking Cammie at the table for editing the podcast. I was like, it was so much work. Cammie's like, no. Taryn jumps in. She goes, yeah. It was. I keep telling her she needs to ask people to pay her when she does stuff like that. That was so many hours. I was like, Taryn, I know.
She was so mad at me. She'd be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just making a couple more edits to the girls' podcast. And she was like, how long have you been working on that?
We're forever indebted to you.
Yes.
No, exactly. I was happy to do it. I was happy to do it, girls.
Oh, we love you so much.
We're very grateful. Very grateful.
You are very welcome.
Even before you were editing for us, you also like, we picked your brain about what it was like to do a podcast. Like, I remember we sat down with you and Taryn and said, like, how do we do this? What should we keep in mind?
Years ago.
Yeah, it really was years ago.
Every time we would see you guys, we're like, when is the pod coming? We need the pod.
We got that question a lot.
And here, but wait, Cammie,
explain to the audience and to us at this moment how you know about what it is to edit and launch a podcast, because I would love for you to talk a little bit about staying up.
Gosh, do I know anything about it? We really just kind of figured it out as we went. But as you said, my wife, Taryn, and I, we were planning for our wedding and we were just like, we want to talk about stuff and we just want to like be able to like look back and see what this time in our life is like, as you both know, and as well as you're learning, Robin, planning a wedding goes by so fast. It's just like, it's such a special time in your relationship, but then it's also so stressful that it can get away from you. And we're like, let's just have a weekly check-in with each other and let other people stay up with us as well, which is why it's called Staying Up. And it's just become this fun thing that now we've carried into over 3 years of marriage, which is crazy that I'm like, we've been doing the podcast for 4 years. Sounds nuts.
No idea that it started from you guys' wedding planning. And that's such a romantic reason to do it. And also the most you thing I've ever heard in my life. Cammie's the most like
so Pisces,
sentimental, romantic, sweet, gentle queen. The very first night I met her, it was at Lauren's Waste Time dinner series. We met at one of Lauren. Lauren has a nonprofit, everyone. If doing a podcast, having a baby, having a full-time badass career wasn't enough, she also has a nonprofit. Yeah, she's fine. Waste Time. And the whole ethos behind it is you make the best connections and build the best part of life just wasting time together, aka like potentially meeting a stranger at a dinner party. It's where I met Cammie originally, and there are prompts at this dinner table, and it's like one of them was look at the person across from you and picture them as a 3-year-old child. And keep in mind, I had just met Cammie 75 minutes ago, and she's looking across from me. And her big, beautiful eyes just start welling up with tears.
It was just so cute.
And I go, are you crying? And she was like, I bet you are so cute.
So sweet.
I could just like, it's so, you never meet new people and think of them as a baby. And it was just like, oh my God, this new person who I'm enjoying so much lived this big full life and was this little tiny human. Oh, it wrecked me.
So great prompt, Lauren. Really good job on that one.
What's so fun is that that was the first event that we had done. And that night, I remember I was running around like crazy because it was like a big sit down dinner. There was like 40 people. Also, the dinner table was like up this crazy flight of stairs. So like everyone's climbing up and down the stairs. And anyway, for the whole dinner, I was running around. And then I remember I got to sit down for a moment. Mm-hmm. And I sat down next to the two of you and got to witness what your experience was like after that prompt.
Yeah.
Which was just like so beautiful and so magical. And like, it's funny when life feels crazy and when working on that project feels like a lot, I like actually think a lot about the two of you.
Aww.
And I think about the fact that you two met at that event. And it reminds me of like, oh, that's why these spaces need to exist. So yes. It just like brings me a lot of joy.
It was the best night ever. And I almost didn't come. I had like an insane anxiety spike out of nowhere, which I'm sure we will get into, was most likely triggered from my PMDD. And I was just like, I don't know if I can go to this right now, but didn't want to cancel because we knew it was going to be this intimate special dinner. And we already adored you, Lauren. So I was like, we can't cancel on her last minute. So sucked it up when, and then Robin was like this little safety blanket where I was like, I feel so comfortable with you right away. And we just vibed so well that I was like, thank God we went. I would have missed out on all of this.
I know. And it's so cool too, because Cammie has become one of my like very, very close friends, and then became really close with Taryn, her wife too. And then Taryn became really close with Harrison. So when we go out on double dates, it's kind of like Cammie and me, the emotional, like sensitive ones against like the ones who like to bully us a little bit. And they're both like growing out in the corner. They're like, they're overreacting again. They've got to suck it up. And Cammie and I are both like, no, I see you. You were right about that. Yeah, for like, sure. No. You should have cried. You should have cried more.
We're like so hyping good. Each other up.
Yeah. So yeah, well done on that. That's how Cammie and I met all through Lauren. And we've had such a fun time following her story, following her and Taryn, and also through conversations around In Phase and through conversations of just like being a woman, have come to understand that like you've had a very interesting experience with your body and your cycle in relation to PMDD, which a lot of people don't know what that is. They've never heard of it, don't know that it's a thing, and also might not know that they have it if they do have it, because I think it can get mistaken for very intense PMS. So I think that's what we want to talk about today, is kind of what is PMDD, what is Cammie's experience with it, and what has been most helpful for her, and what other women might be able to pay attention to or mark as conversation starters for their doctors, or perhaps just learn more about their own bodies.
Yeah, I think like starting off what PMDD is, it's premenstrual dysphoric disorder, which probably didn't answer anyone's questions what it is, because what does that even mean? The way I always explain it to people is PMS on overdrive. If you've ever suffered from PMS, which I believe, I was looking into the statistics, I think it's like 75 to 78% of people with periods suffer from it. And then
Me right now. I had a little menti bee earlier today. I couldn't find parking. Lost my shit. Showed up to an event. Harry was like, "You okay?" I'm like crying. No,
No. I couldn't find parking. Do you think I'm okay?
Yeah. Do I look okay?
You're gonna burn this place down.
I had to walk 0.5 miles in kitten heels. You try it, sir.
Yeah. See, so if you have PMDD, you might not just think about burning a place down, you might actually do it. Like it is everything is so heightened.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, it takes 12 plus years to even get diagnosed with it. So there's a lot of women suffering from it who have absolutely no idea, especially there's such a stigma around mental health. And it is classified in the DSM-5 as a mental health. I actually wrote it down. It's a depressive disorder. So now it is recognized as that, but for so long it wasn't. I don't know when it actually ended up getting in the DSM-5, but people are around suffering just thinking that they are depressed or extra moody or irritable once a month. That's so often. And for like a week out of the month to have that experience is so brutal.
But also a long time.
It's such a long time. It's a quarter of your life. And I was reading about it too. And some women experience it throughout the entirety of their luteal phase. So that's half of your life, if you think about it, if you're combining mm-hmm. both luteal and the front half of your menstrual cycle, because it usually yeah. dissipates, and Cami, correct me if I'm wrong, when your period starts or when it's about halfway done, right?
Yeah, so it can be different for everybody. Basically, it's not that you have too many hormones or not enough hormones. It's a sensitivity to the hormones, which I have kind of discovered I have a lot of issues around that. I have a histamine intolerance that I've now linked to my PMDD, or at least they're correlated. One's not causing the other, but they kind of just exacerbate each other, which is super fun. But yeah.
You're an overachiever.
Yeah. I just like to have it all. But yeah, normally once your period actually starts, those hormones level out a little bit. So then you're not as sensitive to them. But for some people, you don't come down after the hormone release, and it can kind of just be a constant feeling. But yeah, for most people having the symptoms, you'll notice a week or a week and a half of just extreme PMS.
So the first time I learned about it was through Caitlin Bristow, who's an influencer who was on The Bachelorette, and she started posting online very openly about her experience with what I thought was PMS at the time, where she was just had like kind of manic depressive episodes every time she had PMS, like uncontrollable crying, couldn't get out of bed for like a week and a half every single month. She talked about how like her and her partner tried to support each other through it because it was damaging to their relationship and they didn't know what was going on. And then finally she was diagnosed with PMDD. But that was the first time that I had heard about it, and I don't hear many people talk about it that much.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't talk about it because those who even have it don't know. They just think like I grew up just thinking, oh, I have bad periods. They impact me a little bit more, and this is just how it is. Or this is how everyone feels. Everyone who has a period is just experiencing this, and maybe I'm just not strong enough mentally to handle it, or there's something wrong with me that I need to figure out instead of understanding actually something is going on in my body and it's not my fault. There were years and years and years. It wasn't until my late 20s that I even had a hunch that it could be PMDD. And I would just have weeks of feeling really self-destructive, not intentionally picking fights, but fighting with everyone around me. It was really impactful on my relationships. I didn't want to do anything. I also get really anxious when I'm not getting enough done and like working and being productive. And during this time, when you feel so depressed, you don't want to get out of bed. You don't feel like you have the energy to do anything, even see your friends. Then that would make me so anxious. So it's just like a double whammy of depression and anxiety that are not friends with each other. And I don't want to be friends with them either.
Yeah. Gosh, nope. It sounds so hard. I also like, Cami, you said that it was in your 20s when you had this hunch that something mm-hmm. was like, it could be PMDD. Like, what was that hunch? Where did that come from?
A lot of late night Googling, honestly. I'm like, I wish ChatGPT was around back then, because I feel like I would have learned things quicker, because it's so hard to just go down rabbit holes of figuring out other people who have experienced this. But I moved to LA about 11 years ago, and I realized around that time I was feeling extremely low once a month. And I just thought I had big changes in my life. I was going through a lot, went through a breakup shortly after that. So I just thought life was hectic and impacting me. But I would feel so extremely down for that week before my period, and then it would go away. So I didn't – like when you go through something traumatic – your brain kind of blocks it out. So it doesn't feel as bad as it really was. So once I would get through it, I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to look into it. I didn't want to figure stuff out. But one time when I was feeling really, really low and started having like suicidal ideation, I started Googling it and I found PMDD, which I had never heard of. No doctor had ever said to me, no friend had ever talked about, no one in my life had ever mentioned that word or that acronym. And I was like, wait a minute, this sounds exactly like what I have. Because I looked up, am I bipolar? What is going on with me? I had no idea. Because I thought maybe I was manic because I would feel so low. And then once everything regulated, I'd feel great. Like the week after my period, as most of us know, it's like the best week ever. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm bipolar. Maybe I'm manic. Maybe I have something more extreme going on with me. But I was like, I think it's PMDD. So I self-diagnosed myself for years.
Did you, were you able to then find a practitioner who validated that? What was your experience in the, in the medical sphere with it?
So when I first found out, I didn't really talk to doctors about it. I didn't realize there was anything to do about it. I just thought, okay, now that I have this awareness, that's nice. And it was helpful to be like, okay, I'm going to have a low point. knowing what to expect made it more manageable. I could organize my schedule around it. I could basically cycle sync around my PMDD, make sure I'm planning friend hangs or important work stuff outside of that window so I wasn't canceling and then feeling anxious. I would try to be really productive in the weeks leading up to it. And it wasn't until, gosh, only like 3 or 4 years ago, I have a holistic doctor and I was just talking to her. It was like my first meeting with her and she just asked everything. She's like, what at all do you struggle with? Mind, body, everything. Tell me what you go through. And then she was like, how's your periods? And I was like, they're not great, but like, whatever, who's are? And she's like, well, tell me about them. And I explained everything, explained that I get really depressed, all of it. And she was like, you know you have PMDD, right? And I was like, I thought so, but I self-diagnosed. I've never heard a doctor even mention it. And I've told doctors what I feel and they've just kind of been like, yeah, it's just some people have bad periods.
Biggest gripe with just medical community and women bringing their issues to doctors and being dismissed like that. I mean, it is such a similar story to women with endo that Lauren and I just did an episode on too, where it's like, yeah, people don't talk about the experience as women, or they think that mm-hmm. this is just normal because we don't talk about periods as openly as we should. So there was no marker for you to know that this is so out of whack with what other people go through or what you should go through if you don't have this.
And people are dropping the ball on every single level of it. Like, why are we having sex ed in school, watching the dumbest shit, saying like, just don't have sex, when tell me about my period. Tell me what's normal. Tell me what's not. Tell me like, what discharge is weird? Like, stop being weird about it. Teach girls about their bodies as they turn into women so we can feel equipped to speak up for ourselves as women.
That's what Lauren 100%. And I always say. What's the one thing we always say, Lauren? It's if I learned about the fact that boys have wet dreams at age 12 and I know about that in and out and I learned it in school, why do I not know what a luteal phase is and how my hormones shift from that week to the next?
Right. I think the conversation was literally just like, you can use pads or tampons and don't leave the mm-hmm. tampon in too long. Like, that was it.
That was
like when it came to women's health. And it's exactly that, where it's like, there's so much information about what's actually happening in our bodies. And I still can't believe that it's taken me turning 31 years old to decide to dive in and actually learn more.
Absolutely.
I'm 35 and I learn new things about my body every day. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Same.
What the hell?
So when you had her say, you know you have PMDD, right? What was that like for you? Was it just so validating, I would assume?
Yeah, it was such a relief because I feel like quite a self-aware person, but I also am like, I'm not going to diagnose myself with stuff. Like, pretty sure I have ADD. Like, I know certain things about myself, but when I'm not taking steps to do anything about it, I'm like, well, whatever. I don't need a diagnosis. So when she said it, and then started talking about what I could do about it, I was just in shock. I was so, and I don't like going to doctors, so I was a little anxious, sat there, and I just remember instantly feeling relieved. Like, I think I have that. And she was like, oh, you definitely do. And we had already done some blood work and done some hormone levels. And she was like, we could do more if you want like scientific proof, but to be honest, we don't even think PMDD has a lot to do with different hormone levels in your body. So it might come back and show me that you do or show me that you don't. But no matter what it says, I'm diagnosing you. Like, everything, you shouldn't feel depressed and suicidal before your period. That's not a normal thing. That's PMDD. And there is stuff we can do about it. And I was just like, oh my God.
Oh, it's amazing to have like such a strong advocate who could see you right away. Gosh, I'm so happy that you had that experience. That's major.
I got so lucky where most people don't.
I have a friend. It was when we had launched the first episode of this podcast and we're talking about it. And she reached out and said, you know, I'm really happy that you're having these conversations. Mm-hmm. She was diagnosed with bipolar disorder mistakenly. She has PMDD.
My God.
And she didn't find it out until, I don't know if it was like several months or a few years later, but it was mistake diagnosis of bipolar disorder because her doctor wasn't aware of what PMDD was.
Everything drives you nuts,
right?
Because they don't study anything on women. Like, nothing.
Right.
Nothing they study on women. They're like, well, let's just study on half the population. It's just men, even though our bodies are vastly different.
Yeah.
We can't study periods on men.
No, right? study them on the half of the population whose hormonal cycle resets every 24 hours instead of every 28 days.
Yeah,
do you guys know that they didn't even use real blood to test pads and tampons until like the last 5 to 10 years, I think it was?
Not surprising.
It's like, no wonder this shit doesn't work. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh, it's so wild.
God. Wait, Robin, what happened with your friend? Was she on medication for bipolar?
I didn't dive in and like really push on it. It was just a conversation in DM, and it felt so personal, and it felt like very special that she was sharing it with me because she said, I think she said, like, I haven't told anyone this, or I don't tell people this because there's such a stigma around it. And of course, there's a stigma around mental health in general. And then with things like PMDD and with things like endo that are specific to women and also can be largely invisible, so you cannot prove them, I think that there's a really collective feeling with women who have this or have gone through something like this that they're made to feel crazy, that it's all in their head. And so that's why I'm so glad that you found a practitioner to just validate you and say, oh yeah, you absolutely have this. You are correct. Yeah. You're not crazy. This isn't normal. There's nothing wrong with you in your brain. You know what I mean? Like, you just have this intolerance to hormonal fluctuations like this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's completely normal.
Yeah. Ugh. What was it like? Like, when you left the doctor's office that day, what did you do? Did you call anyone? Like, what was that experience like after having that idea be so validated finally?
You know, I don't fully remember. I think I did get blood work done. So I was probably just trying not to pass out.
Fair.
The main thing.
Fair, valid. Important.
But she that day actually prescribed me Lexapro with my luteal cycle. So it was like 2 weeks on leading up and into my period. So it was, when was I taking it? I'm now on a small dose of Lexapro every day because I just didn't like getting on and off of it. I think I probably do have mild depression as well. So it was just, it felt more balanced. But a lot of people don't know, because most people think SSRIs you have to stay on every day. If it is for... Taryn was really nervous when I got prescribed it. She's like, you can't get on and off SSRIs like that. But you absolutely can whenever, specific ones, obviously talk to your doctor. Don't listen to me. If your doctor will listen to you.
Or us, by the way.
Not doctors.
Not doctors here. Yep. Reminder.
I like how you add that too, though. If your doctor will listen to you. And also,
right.
For anyone listening, if your doctor is not listening to you, then find a new doctor. Yep.
Yeah. Tell them, fuck you, and run.
Yeah, and then throw a double bird with a really nice Cabo manicure and say, I'm out of here. I'm going to find Cammy's doctor.
But yeah, anyone DM me, I'll send you her info. She's amazing. I did a few months doing it. I think it was a week before my period and then a few days into my period. And at first, I just felt like my down spiral was just being delayed a little bit. It was definitely lessened, but it was still there. And I didn't like the guesswork of figuring out when I was going to be impacted by the hormones. So I just decided to stay on Lexapro every day. And I have been, it's like night and day. I am a completely different person. Taryn said to me the other day, she was like, I can't remember the last time you had a day where you seemed depressed, which is just, at first, most of my life felt like I would never see that. And it was just going to be something that I had to deal with forever. And it's amazing. During IVF, I had even when I was on Lexapro, because of the hormones, it was just not enough for the Lexapro to kick it. The depression definitely popped in. I probably should have upped the dose a little bit. But it was just like the best feeling to see something actually work. Like within a month, I felt a shift. And then once I stayed on it, it was pretty quick.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Was there any, Cammy, in addition to the mental symptoms you were talking about, to anything physically that your body was experiencing during that time?
So it's hard to know what was the PMDD. And then I also later found out I had a fibroid and endometriosis, very mild endo. So I don't know what symptoms were specifically caused by what. I think the depression was mainly just the PMDD. And then I had pretty intense periods. They're very, very heavy. I think that was more the fibroid and endo, and just so painful. I did notice when I was getting my PMDD under control, she also put me on some like holistic medications as well. My cramping got way less, but removing the fibroid and endo is what really changed physical symptoms. The PMDD was mainly mental symptoms.
When you say a holistic, was it supplements or was it like a version of acupuncture and herbs or what, or mainly just like supplements?
It was mainly supplements. I did do acupuncture for my periods a couple times. I've never noticed acupuncture for me help mentally. It's all been like very physical. I've had an acupuncturist remove my period pain in one session. It was crazy. Yeah.
Who is that? How do we see her?
I will send you all of her info as well, but they do one like this is such a common spot in acupuncture in between your thumb and your pointer finger. And it also is a period pain spot. And they put it in there and it was like instant relief. It was really amazing.
I love Chinese medicine so much.
It's so interesting. Like, it is. How did people even figure this out?
Right? When you go in and I have a traditional Chinese acupuncturist that I'll see sometimes and she'll just ask me to stick out my tongue and she'll tell me like the things that I need to eat or I'm not eating or what's going on like inside my body that I'm like, are you looked at my tongue for 4 seconds. Just so here? Yeah.
It's amazing. It's also wild how everything is so deeply connected. Like I have chronic neck pain and it's a lot of pinpoints in your ear that connects to your neck. And so I found like for the most part, I was getting a ton of needles in my ear and it was helping with my neck. And it's like,
whoa, this is good to know as a fellow neck pain girly.
But yeah. If you like grip your ear right here a bit, it actually helps loosen things up.
Okay. All right. Yep. Just hints on health all around on this episode.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So, Cammy, you were talking about your experience with Taryn with this, how she's noticing that you haven't been depressed in a while. What was the impact of your relationship when you were struggling with it? And how was that for her? And how was that for you with a partner? And how did you choose to communicate what was going on? Like, to the best of your ability at the time, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it was really awful, especially pre-Taryn. I think I'm so lucky that Taryn is such an incredible partner and understands mental health so much, has her own struggles that she has worked on, and is just very proactive with things. In the past, I feel like I had partners who we just didn't communicate well. I didn't feel very open. I didn't know how to share what I was feeling, where Taryn is so in tune with stuff that it was much easier to share those things with her. But even that, I would get like, we would realize that we were always fighting around my period. I was so sensitive. Everything would trigger me. It was just like the wind would blow the wrong way and everything's bad. Doomsday. Nothing is worth it anymore.
Which is so irritable. It's so antithetical to your personality too. And your like natural homeostasis, because the way I see you is just like the most cheerful, genuine, happy-go-lucky, like person with a smile on their face all the time. Like yes, you're sensitive in the sweetest way, but in the best way, right? Like as like an emotionally attuned person, not like overly sensitive, reacting to the wind blowing wrong. So,
but that's why it felt so weird. I felt like a different person. And for so long, I would tell Taryn, like, this isn't who you signed up to be with. Like, you fell in love with me, that I'm like very carefree and so goofy and silly and like nice and happy-go-lucky. Like, I think that, of course, there are other layers to me, and any partner would see down days. But when I would have these depressive episodes around it, I couldn't remember a time before it and it didn't feel like I'd ever be out of it. Like, you know, when you have a really bad flu and you're like, what does it feel like to not be sick? Am I ever going to be out of this? The depression felt like that. It was like, oh no, this is just who I am and it's who I'm always going to be now. And it was just scary because Taryn is so silly and she loves to joke all the time, and she would crack a joke and I would just be like deadpan. Or worse, irritated and be like, can you stop? Like, what are you doing? This is so annoying. Everything would irritate me. And I just got so anxious that she was going to leave me because this is just not the person that she wanted to be with. Like, she fell in love with me because of all of the positive qualities, that she wouldn't want to be here for this. And I think one time when it got really bad, I shared that with her and she was so reaffirming that that was not the case. And she just wanted me to get help. I think for a long time, I wasn't doing anything to get help. And that was frustrating for her, because it's one thing to realize you're struggling mentally, But if you don't do anything about it, then it is just putting the burden on those around you. Like, they can be there for you and they can support you, but you have to know how to ask for that support. Yeah. And I was just kind of like, I don't know. I don't know what I need. I don't know. Just like, just leave me alone. Just let me rot in bed. I don't know what to do.
I also struggle with mental health issues. And for me, when I first decided to get help and get medication, it was because of conversations I was having with Gabe. It was a similar thing where it was like, I can deal with this hell on my own. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll do like my spirals and it's whatever. But then it was a sense of, oh, right, this is actually impacting the partnership that we're building. And yeah. This is impacting like our life together on certain days and in certain moments. And I just want to say like, yeah, there's something about having a partner to sort of help make that action happen. Mm-hmm. But also like, I so deeply resonate, Cammie, with that idea too of like, okay, but you love the happy version of me. So mm-hmm. I don't want you to see this other side. Like, I've so deeply resonate with that. And I've had that exact same feeling, this feeling of like, oh, people like me because I'm cheery and giggly and can bring the light.
Can't show this side.
Yeah, can't possibly show it. And it's like, I'm curious, like, what's that journey been like to, like, when it comes to the side that is darker, have you embraced that? Like, what does that look like when it comes to approaching all the different angles of you?
I think I just haven't seen the actual depression as part of me anymore. Like, it felt so all-consuming and as part of who I am, where I've learned like that isn't who I am. That's when it's showing me that something's going wrong in my body and there is ways to balance it out and fix it. It's such a delicate thing. And I think, yeah, it's so hard for partners to know like when they can or can't say something. And I think as women, it's a double-edged sword that we are just so headstrong. And so like, I can do this and I can do it on my own and I will push through this and I can keep all the plates spinning even when I'm struggling inside. And I feel like we need to kind of push past that and stop doing that. We don't have to stay strong. Community is so powerful. And I feel like us as a society need to get back to that in general, which I know you guys both agree with that deeply.
Absolutely.
But I feel like once I was able to really articulate stuff to Taryn and she was so wildly supportive, like there was one time when I finally went to therapy, she did a lot of the work and went on this site and said, hey, I found you 10 therapists. You can have meetings with them. You do 2-minute intro calls, or it was like 5-minute intro calls, and just see how they feel. I didn't set them up yet. Like, I'll let you set those up. But if you want me to and it's overwhelming you, you can do that. Like, she really read that I couldn't take that first leap into it. I couldn't accept that I had to do something. And I don't know why I was really scared to get on any kind of medication. I never had a stigma in my head for anyone else. I feel like that happens a lot to at least me, I think a lot of people, where it's like, that's okay for you, but it's not for me. And I was really stuck on that. So I think when Taryn set up those calls for me and kind of like took the first little leap, like gave me a little nudge, but I had to do the actual jump when it got me to that next step of really working on the root of the issue. And then I was like, oh, this isn't me. I am this person that I really like and that my wife fell in love with, but it's okay to have these down days, but I can't let it consume me like this. I can't let it affect so much of our lives because I'm not a good partner when it is.
Yeah. Wow. Go Taryn.
She's great.
What a great partner move. Just making those like, that step, making it feel a little bit easier for you. Mm-hmm. That's such a,
Yeah, props. She knew I was just terrified. So it was like, okay, here, I did a little of the legwork for you.
Yeah.
It's go Taryn, and it's also go you guys and go any person who is struggling with mental health and partnership and also choosing to express it, to express the fear of being seen or unseen as they want to be or as they believe themselves to be. And then also to be open and vulnerable about the fear around what that means for the relationship. Mm-hmm. And then Cammie, she opened the door for you and that's incredible. And I hope everyone has a partner like her and a partner like Gabe. And then you jumped through and are doing the work. So I think it's like, I think it's just such a really great story of partnership in mental health where it's like, one, it's in sickness and in health, and that's not just physical sickness. And two, it's like someone behind you when you need someone behind you, and then someone in front of you kind of pulling you when you need that. And I think we take turns depending on what's going on.
100%.
So I'm proud of both of you. I'm proud of all four of you.
Thank you.
So, Cammie, let's shift into what have you found to be successful with PMDD outside of the SSRIs? What has the journey been like for you to kind of come back to self and feel the best version of yourself and get a handle on it?
Yeah, I think the first step is definitely just the awareness around it all and putting words to it and communicating it, whether it's to your partner, your friends, work, whatever it may be. I feel like a lot of people, if they do struggle with PMD, probably can't say it at work and probably have to be like, oh, I have a cold or whatever it may be. I hope that gets less stigmatized so that people can share it, because having that support system is so much nicer. I'm at a point where I can literally tell Taryn, I am feeling so irritable. It's hit me. I know my period's coming. So I'm preemptively sorry if I'm snappy, if I seem down. I'm not upset with you. Nothing's wrong here. Just let me, if I'm not laughing at your jokes the same way, please don't get offended. Don't get sensitive towards that. And then that has opened the door where I've already addressed it. And now she and the other people around me can be like, that was very nice, or like, that was snappier. You are doing X, Y, and Z that I know you don't like. So I think me being aware of the things negatively that I do in those moments, sharing that with people, and then creating a space where they can reflect it back to me and kind of hold up a mirror and be like, you don't want to do this, is so nice. And then also just allowing myself to relax. I hated those days where I would feel depressed and feel like, oh, I just can't do anything. And I feel like I've gotten to a good balance of letting myself have a moment, but not letting that moment turn into days, not laying in bed, not scrolling on her phone. It's almost like an addiction when you're depressed, where there's little things that can make you feel better, but in the long term, they make you feel worse. Like if you're an alcoholic, yes, having a drink when you're hungover is going to help you, but then it makes the hangover worse later on, or you have to keep drinking. And I feel like depression's the same way. Once you find those things that are comfort blankets, they're actually just enabling you and keeping you in a rut. So finding gentle things that move you through it without pushing yourself. Go on a walk, get out in nature. I find it so helpful just to sit outside. I don't have to do anything. I can still be rotting. I can stay in my pajamas, but if I just sit outside for a minute, go play with the dogs. I like to put a lot of my energy into other more important things. Like when I'm depressed, the dogs are getting a spa day. They're getting washed. I'm grooming them. I'm doing their nails. I'm cleaning their ears, because I am so scared that these little beings need me. Like, I can't drop the ball. They can't wash themselves. They can't feed themselves. So I will kind of be like, if this is all I can do today, that's a win. And it kind of gets me out of the cycle a little bit.
I love all of those. Is this where you want to jump into the GLP-1?
Yeah, I would love to. I found such a correlation to PMDD and inflammation in my body. I also found a lot of information on histamine intolerance. I have had horrible allergies my whole life, and I'll notice flare-ups randomly when I eat certain foods or drink certain things. And I've also, I don't know if there's science behind this, it's all very new, but I notice that I'm more sensitive to those things when I'm about to get my period. It's very bizarre. Like if I drink right before my period, more likely to get hungover, more likely to get flush in my face. I'll get really red. I try to have natural wines, but I'll notice the same wine that doesn't impact me the next day could mess up. Well, not next day, the next week, whenever it is in my face, will really impact me. So I started doing a lot of research on inflammation, and
there's question about that. Mm-hmm. Is it always the week before your period, or is it during your period?
Usually my issues are the week before. It can be like 10 days out and then into like 3 days into my period.
So interesting. Because Laura and I just did an episode on supplements and found that vitamin C is really helpful for a lot of women during their period, because their immune system is lowered when they have their period, simply because like their body is working overtime. Mm-hmm. So just giving it an extra boost. So I was wondering if that was a correlation, but if it's before your period, I want to learn more about this. There needs to be more research.
I'm like, please, can we just get research on this? Yes. I don't know if you guys have also seen people who struggle with PMDD started taking like a Zyrtec before their period. Huh. Which is so funny because then it's like everything is associated where you have this higher reaction to thing, whether it be histamines or the estrogen or progesterone in your body, and those also release more histamines. Like it's just a cyclical thing happening where one's causing the other issue, causing the other issue. So it's, yeah. I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg, but I started to notice so much inflammation in my body once I started doing IVF. I did some pretty intense FET, which is frozen embryo transfer protocols, where I was doing up to 3 shots a day. I would do progesterone and they were all shots. So they were like more intense doses of it. So I was doing progesterone and estrogen every day, and it would be for weeks leading up. Then we'd do a transfer, and then I had to continue doing it for 10 days until you do the pregnancy test, which was such a bummer when I wasn't pregnant because I was like, I just did shots for 10 days for nothing.
For nothing.
For nothing.
When you have your baby, though, I can't wait for him or her to like look at it, like go listen to Staying Up and hear about everything that you and T did to bring them into the world. And it's just going to be the most special. Lauren mentioned that like having, because we did an episode on Carmen's birth, and it's almost having like an audio diary of this really special moment in your life. And especially for them that they can look back and be like, look how much my mom's loved me.
Yeah. Someday you're going to sit there with Carmen and just be like, listen, this was my story. This is what I was feeling right after this experience, not retelling it 20, 30, 40 years from now.
Totally. It's so like our live journals. It was a lot on you and quite a journey on your end.
The IVF really flared up my PMDD. Like I mentioned earlier, I think I probably should have gotten on a higher dose of Lexapro, but I also had done, there's not a lot of research. Again, that's like the theme of probably this whole podcast. I was going to say this episode, but I'm sure every time. Every conversation.
Hence you have two women who just bought microphones and decided to do the research for
just
everybody
yell
else.
Yell about it. Because yep.
If scientists aren't going to do it, we're going
to
do it.
Then we're going to do it. And we're afraid to get sued, as we mentioned on every episode. So, yeah. but keep going.
But yeah, there wasn't a lot of research. I forget specifically on what, everything. But I just noticed that, there's not a lot of research on being on SSRIs when pregnant and before getting pregnant and right after when you're breastfeeding. So I had seen that there could be some issues. So I actually, at the beginning of IVF, tried to get off of it for a little bit because I was like, I should just stop now so I'm not cutting cold turkey once I'm pregnant, and have since decided there's no way in hell I'm getting off of my Lexapro.
Good for you.
Good for you. It's just,
I mean, if this is intense, I can't imagine pregnancy. Yeah. And I'm honestly have such a fear of postpartum, but we're just gonna see what happens, I guess.
I mean I take Zoloft, and I started taking it because I knew I could take it. It's like the one where there actually is research that it should impact pregnancy and breastfeeding, so I decided to do Zoloft because I knew I eventually wanted to get pregnant.
Maybe I'll switch then, because I've been thinking about switching. Okay.
Yeah, it can be worth asking about. It's truly the whole reason why I did it. It's like apparently the one where there is research about it.
Yeah.
And it was a game changer when I first started taking it. And I also, Cammy, I had such a fear of postpartum depression. I got really, suffer from depression, suffer from anxiety, and was so nervous about this sense of like, oh my God, one, I don't want to feel that way again, but two, how can I feel that way when life is like demanding so much of me?
Yeah.
And I remember someone saying, well, your hormones can do a lot of things. They can make you feel really depressed, or they can also make you feel really happy. And just imagine that the hormones are going to make you feel the opposite direction when you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. And sharing that, because that helped me so much. And then when I was pregnant, I was like the happiest. I was like, every day was sunshine.
I love that.
I was like living in bliss every single moment. And then afterwards, for the most part, like, it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. And there was just like that sort of magical reminding of like, oh yeah, it could go in multiple directions. And that, I don't know.
I could get really the happy side. Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you on something else before Zoloft and switched to Zoloft?
Yeah, when I started, it was on Zoloft. I started probably like, I guess a year before we started trying. And I was lucky where my doctor had asked me, she was like, do you ever plan to want to have kids? And I was like, yeah. And so she was like, okay, cool. Then if I could recommend a brand, it would be Zoloft for you.
That's great.
I'm gonna look into that then. Cause there's some not so sure studies on Lexapro. And also Lexapro kills my sex drive. So I've been thinking about getting off of it anyways.
That's what everyone says about it. And it's also such a big hindrance. I mean, like I have friends and family who are on Lexapro and absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the number one thing that I hear people talk about, or a deterrent to even wanting to start it, is the sex drive. The libido aspect is, I think, very real. And I didn't realize that was specific just to Lexapro though.
Neither did I, and I wasn't really warned about it. I just thought it was like any antidepressant can do it. But now after experiencing it and looking into it, it is a very Lexapro specific thing. So maybe I'll become a Zoloft girly with you, Lauren.
If you give it a go, let me know how it goes.
Speaking of which, Zoloft, if you want to sponsor this podcast, you know who to call.
Please.
Big fans over here.
Okay, so you, after going through all the IVF, the rounds of experiencing that, you were noticing a ton of inflammation.
Yeah, I kept looking, like I had gained about like 15 pounds doing IVF, and I just felt so not in my body. And it was just so, it was a really bizarre experience with my body. And this time I've always struggled with body dysmorphia and bad eating habits growing up. So I really tried to, like, ditto.
I really tried to, like, hey. Yeah, like,
at Quorum. Yep.
Yep. I really wanted to like embrace my body in this process, even through the IVF of it all. But as it started taking longer and longer, I'm like, once we got to like the year mark into it and I was just not feeling myself, clothes weren't sitting on me on the same way. Like even doing my makeup, my face was so puffy. Like my rings weren't fitting right. I just didn't feel right in my body. And any other time I had gained or lost a little weight, I didn't feel the same way. So I just was like, I just looked different. I always say I was fluffy. Like I was carrying weight in a really weird way. And I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe the hormones mimic pregnancy and maybe it's just changed my body and this is just how it's going to be from now on and whatever. And then I started researching GLP-1s for inflammation because I had heard people were getting pregnant on them. And I was like, what? That makes no sense. It must just be they lose weight. And if they were overweight and get to a healthy weight, they're getting pregnant more easily. And then I started seeing studies on people getting pregnant before they had lost any weight and having all of these benefits from GLP-1s before they had lost the weight. So it couldn't have been because of the weight. So I had a call with my doctor, not the same one who recognized my PMDD, but same clinic. She wasn't available. So I had a new doctor who's also lovely. And she was like, I really think that this a GLP-1 could be great for you. I know it sounds scary. And I was more nervous, like, is this just going to flare up an eating disorder? Because to be fully transparent, I had a few friends go on it and I was like, this is just a glorified eating disorder. It's just making you not eat. So you're losing weight because now you are involuntarily anorexic. And this is so wildly unhealthy. And it's so bad that we are already so focused on our bodies. And now we have like a shot that's going to make us lose weight. And now we're all going to be addicted to it. And it's so bad.
I think it's such a slippery slope. And yeah. I think especially, I don't know if you both agree, but living in LA, I was having a conversation with a friend earlier today and he was like, just everyone's on this and everyone's so thin.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Your mail person, the grocery store clerk, the like neighbor down the street, everyone. And so I just had like a really negative viewpoint on them. And I think I did see a few people, in my opinion, not doing it very healthy. So I think I had a really negative view of it for a while. And then
I did when I first learned about it too. And just validating that, and also validating that then when I started to learn about how many different people have different issues or challenges or chronic illnesses or chronic debilitations within their body where that semaglutides or GLP-1s can help for so many different reasons. It was like, one, we always should be aware of things that could send us on an unhealthy path. And two, mm-hmm. also be open-minded to the fact that there are many facets to the goodness that could come out of something that we otherwise would be like, oh, that's so lame that you're doing that.
Yeah, so true. And also, I think just like to your point, like being in LA, it feels like it's everywhere. And it feels like the conversation was mostly about it being recreational for so long. At least that was my experience. It was more about
stick thin people taking this drug to lose more weight and be even more sick thin. You're like, what are you doing?
Right. As opposed to talking about like the actual medical benefits of how this is changing people's lives.
Yes.
In a really good way. So I totally agree with that.
It's the influencers that we're seeing who are a size zero and want to be a size double zero, where it's like, this is just not the move, y'all.
I thought
we'd moved away from heroin chic in the 90s and now we're headed back.
Yeah. I'm like, please don't bring it back. We are all scarred from it still.
Come on.
Right. But I also like really respect the concerns that you had, Cammie, about the fear of it, because you're right. It's like, you said it too, Robin, it could be a slippery slope and it can be such an addiction when it comes to our body. And you 100%. Talking about your experience with that, like, I think, you know, you being mindful of that, it sounds like you're trying to be really thoughtful when it comes to taking a step like that.
Yeah, I'm really scared of it because I spent a long time having a healthy relationship with my body and food. Like, even I was on Vyvanse for my ADHD for a little while, and I got off because it killed my appetite and I was enjoying that too much. I was like, oh, this is easier to stay thin when I have no appetite. And I really hated it. So once I noticed that and like I had lost a little weight on it and was like happy, I was like, no, cut it.
So self-aware.
I have to be self-aware.
If that were me, I would be like, amazing, gonna rock it, gonna keep it going, and it's prescribed by my doctor. Yeah. I'm fully transparent. I came up in the Adderall like phase in college where it's like, use it to study, and then also you don't eat, so that takes care of your freshman 15. Yep. And you carry that little crutch with you, and if you want to tap back into it, you can. So I commend you on having the self-awareness to be like, oh no, I like this too much. It is not healthy for me.
Yeah, I've just learned that like I feel best about my body when I am moving it and being good to it. So abusing a medicine to get thin, yeah, I might like the way an outfit looks a little bit better, but it was never enough. When I'm working out consistently and fueling my body right and not restricting myself, whether I look my smallest or my biggest, I feel better. I'm like, oh, I look hot right now because I'm treating it right. So I think once I've gotten into that mindset, I will do nothing. I'm like so protective of it at this point. So I was just nervous and honestly just judgmental about it too. I was just like, this is so stupid. And like, guys, just go eat healthy and work out. Like, I was extremely judgmental about it. And to give Taryn more credit for being the best human ever, she is so non-judgmental that when she doesn't understand something or is judging something, she then dives deeper and tries to learn everything about it so that she can, because she doesn't want to judge something before she fully understands it because she's better than everybody.
I was going to say, damn, Taryn, you and Taryn are both showing everybody up. I am the Miranda of the Sex and the City of any friend group. I am Judgy McJudgy Bear. It's a lot of this.
Well, I mean, I'm giving her and I a little too much credit. Like, we call this thing we do the like 2 cents, where we have to give our 2 cents on fucking everything. We are so judgy and we'll be like, you know what? This line would be better if they did this. Like, we, anything that you can have an opinion on, we have an opinion on. So
I want to participate in that. Harry always says about me, it's like, if there's one thing about you, you have opinions. I'm like, yes, I do.
Don't get confused. We got lots of opinions here, and we complain and we judge and we gossip. But then the next day, Taryn goes and like learns things and is the good person about it. So she actually started listening to a few podcasts and she was like, Did you know this? And we had a close person in our life who was on them, and we wanted to make sure we understood them well so we could kind of like give them advice and make sure they were being healthy. And then she one day was like, I think I've changed my mind. I think GLP-1s are like going to save everyone and cure so many diseases. And I was like, okay, crazy. Like, do you just want to get on them? Like, what are you doing? And she shared a bunch of the information that she learned, and it was fascinating by all these doctors researching it, how it was impacting women's bodies. So then when I started learning about how it can help with inflammation, and I was like, well, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do with this inflammation, and started learning about how bad inflammation is for your body getting pregnant, I was like, I don't know what else to do. I was doing everything to rid the inflammation and nothing was changing about my body. I was eating so healthy, working out, all the things, and nothing was going away.
I was gonna say too, you also have endometriosis, which is an inflammatory chronic condition where that just is made 10 times worse. So I would have to assume if you're trying to rid yourself of inflammation, that's helping PMDD, it's helping endo, it's helping your entire body. Because inflammation for you isn't just like, oh, I'm bloated. It's an entire mental and physical bodily reaction anytime that happens.
Yeah, and it's just so intense. Like, it makes me tired. It makes me achy. Ugh. I just think that I'm really sensitive to stuff. But luckily, I'm really sensitive to getting rid of the inflammation, turns out. Most people, when they're sensitive both ways. So I ended up getting on a microdose of tirzepatide mid-December until February 1st.
What is a microdose versus a regular dose?
So most of the time, the like FDA-approved amount is 2.5 milligrams, I want to say. Maybe don't quote me on that, but most people start on that and they build you up to it. My doctor, you kind of have to do like a loophole because you can't even really get a prescription for less than that. So I have to get the prescription for more and then I split it and just like, I'm used to mixing potions from IVF. So I was like, I can do that. I can separate all the amounts.
So bad at math that this would be a terrible thing for me to foray into.
Every time we'd freak out because it was, so we would do 1.25 milligrams, but then the syringes were in milliliters.
You're converting.
I had to give Bruce a medication that did that, and I gave her what I thought was the right amount, and then two minutes later, she's puked all over the floor, and I look at it, and I was like, I just gave her four days worth of medication. No wonder
it was like enough for Frank, my dog, being 100 pounds.
And Bruce is like seven pounds. I was like, oh, I shouldn't be trusted with this because I use my calculator on my phone to do 11 minus 4. So couldn't be me.
It was very stressful at first, I will say. Once we got it down, I like took a picture where on the syringe we're supposed to do it because literally every Sunday night I was like, no, you're doing too much. You're doing too little. I don't know what's happening. I was like so nervous. But yeah, I did. So it was 1.25, I think. I'd have to check my photos to see if that's the correct amount. But half of the starting dose. So if you look up what the starting dose is, it was half of that. So I felt no symptoms from it, except for I felt instantly I had less brain fog. Like the mental clarity I felt right away was really crazy. I had almost felt like I had taken an ADD medication without the appetite suppression and like the shakiness. I just felt alert and I could think of words more quickly. Ever since I started IVF, I cannot think of a damn thing. I'll be like, what's that word? What's that word? And it will be the most basic word. These are not difficult things. I'm like, house. Oh, it's house.
Spoon.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Go
for it.
So when you say instantly, like how quickly was it that you started to experience the difference?
The next day. The next day, I woke up and I was like, I am like, oh, it's probably just a placebo effect or there's a million other things. I didn't check every variable. It could have been a specific day in my cycle that I was going to already feel better. So I was like, oh, it must not be this. But then it continued day after day. I felt just more clear headed and I had more energy. And instantly I was like, I want to work out. And then, I was just like, I feel like I want to be healthy. I felt amazing.
It sounds like follicular phase on crack.
It was. Oh, my God. It was. I'm like, PMDD is PMS on crack. Being on the microdose GLP-1 was all the good feelings on crack. I felt so good. And within like 4 days, I noticed inflammation go down. Like I dropped, my weight on the scale went down quickly, where obviously that wasn't fat. It was the inflammation left my body. I want to say like within a week, it was noticeable how much inflammation left. Like I've gotten through IVF, I've gotten a lot of cellulite on my legs. I think I'm somebody who's just prone to cellulite because some people genetically just are.
Look at us. We're so blessed. Same.
Love it.
Right?
Yay. But I started noticing it on the back of my arms, which was really weird. I was like, okay, I've never seen it there. And then a week into taking the GLP-1, my arms were like back to smooth and normal. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Wild.
It was crazy.
If anything, like this isn't like, it's not as this is as it's not as if this is like a super, it's pro GLP-1, pro semaglutide or anything, but it's pro being so aware of inflammation and how crazily that can affect your body. Because to your point, Cam, losing 5 pounds in a week is not fat. Like that mm-hmm. is not, that is water weight. That's inflammation. That's that puffiness. That's bloat. That is wild.
Yeah, it's like basically every fat cell in my body where they're normally flattened was just filled with water and inflammation. So everything was hurting. And then I think people just think, oh, inflammation, like you look a little bigger and maybe like your skin's more rippled. But inflammation happens all around your organs too. It's not healthy for you. Your inflammation happens at every part of your body, not just living under your skin. And that's where I started feeling my body differently. My digestion was better. Everything felt so much better. It was really insane. So yeah, not to be like so pro GLP-1, but for me and my inflammation, it helped so much. And now I see why so many people have other health benefits. Like I have eczema. My mom has eczema and psoriasis. She's been talking to her doctor. I don't know that it's going to be right for her to get on ever, but a lot of skin issues people have is just inflammation showing up in different ways.
I think, and to your point, it's not you shouting from the rooftops that everyone should go on this, but maybe everyone should do a little bit more research about what it is they're dealing with that could fall under the umbrella of chronic illness and see if this could be right. If it's an inflammatory condition, perhaps do a little bit more of Taryn-style research around it.
Mm-hmm. Taryn-style research. I love that. Yeah. And Candy, I only was...
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think you're actually just about to answer that. So go
how long?
Ask how long you're on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was only on it for 6 weeks. So I did like December 15th to February 1st. I wanted to get off two or 3 months before I did any IVF, just because there's not enough studies around it. Yes, people are getting pregnant randomly whenever they're on it, but we don't know any negative impact it could have. So I wanted to be able to see the benefits, which I honestly was like, 6 weeks isn't going to be enough time, but sure, we'll give it a go.
You were like, 6 hours benefit.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm done. One dose, yeah. Never have to do it again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did it for 6 weeks and I've now been off of it for almost 3 months and everything has stayed the same. I was really scared to get off of it. I was like, is my inflammation just going to immediately come back? I had been researching what other people's experiences were and some people did, but I think because I'm so sensitive to inflammation that it like resets your system basically. So the hormones, my body just couldn't rid them and balance back out. It just became a new normal for me where my body was like, oh, we just hold on to this inflammation and your body thinks it's using it to protect yourself. And then once I got it off, I've just had zero issues since. So I've been off it, what, like almost three times as long as I was on it and still have the benefits.
And are you, when you have your cycle now and you have that luteal phase come through your body and your world in a way that it used to affect you so negatively, how is that experience now?
I don't know that the GLP-1 has changed anything other than I now can tell when I'm bloated. I used to say I never get bloated, but I think I had so much inflammation I just couldn't see the bloat that I'm like, I'm always inflamed and it's everywhere. So now whenever I get my period and I like get a little bit of bloat, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's why my stomach's hurting. I can see the bloat, because before it's like around my period, I would get so inflamed all around my organs that it was just like, I don't know. I was like, that's just what my stomach looks like. And I'm like, oh, there's my stomach. That's what it looks like without all this inflammation.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we need to talk about that. If everyone could please go to Cammie's Instagram and take a look of the photo of her stomach at Coachella. It's the coolest photo I've ever seen. I hit her up. I was like, what are these abs? And how do I get them? It looks insane. Like, I want to print it out and put it in the Louvre and also put it in my bedroom. And I think Hera would be like, you can't do that. And also Taryn would be like, you can't do that.
Yeah, she's already like, you and Robin are so in love with each other.
I know. Every time I'm like hyping Cammie up, like almost inappropriately, I'm like, you're so hot. This is amazing. Oh my God, you've never looked more beautiful. I'm like, hey, Taryn. Also, I love you too.
Yeah, Taryn's like, remember that Robin is like lesbian adjacent.
I do love all the lesbian drama in LA more than anything in the world. I'm clued into all the influencers.
More than I am.
I know. I'll hit Cammie and be like, did you hear about this person getting back together with this person? She's like, what are you talking about? You and Taryn are both like, go to bed.
Yeah. It's like 2 a.m. We're like, stop scrolling Lundy's TikTok. But yeah, I mean, that was another reason why I've been wanting to talk about it. This is the first time I am publicly talking about it. I've just not known the right way. And I just got back on YouTube. So I had been planning on talking. I like a long form content way more than doing a little like TikTok or Instagram reel where there's just so much nuance that I want to share around it. But I also have had so many people be like, you look so strong. What have you been doing? And I also don't want to just be like, oh yeah, I've been eating really healthy and working out a lot, even though those things are true. I was doing those before. So I think why it's so quickly, no one's been calling me like very thin. Everyone's been like, you look so strong. I think I've been doing Pilates at home for like a year now and very consistently for about like 5 months. I think I had all this muscle under the inflammation. So as soon as the inflammation went away, you could like actually see that I'm strong now.
No, those muscles are popping, dude.
I like because I was feeling a lot stronger for a long time. Like the reformer has just been amazing for my body and my strength. And then I was like, why don't I like look stronger though? And then as soon as the puffiness was gone, I was like, oh my God, my arm. Like every day I look at my arm and I go to Taryn. I'm like, look how strong I look. Look at my muscle.
She's a little mini Popeye.
Yeah. I'm like, you guys should feel this. But I just want to include that, like, I don't know. It just feels wrong to not share that aspect of it, because especially if somebody, we use the internet for comparison, good or bad, and if somebody is going through IVF or has been struggling with PMDD or inflammation or all the things, if they see themselves in me and I'm like, yeah, I've been eating healthy and doing Pilates and now this changed my body, and then they do it and it doesn't work for them, I want them to know, like, no, you know what? Nothing was getting rid of this inflammation. No anti-inflammatory diet was doing it. Nothing did it. But you know, it did. It GLP-1. And I would love to hear if there's other ways to do it. And that would be great, because I'm not going to be able to do them now until I go through pregnancy and breastfeeding. And that's really sad because I can't wait to have the benefits again. But
I hear that.
Yeah.
I also, but, yeah. I mean, one, thank you for sharing with us. This being the space where you're sharing about it for the first time makes Lauren and I feel very special. And I think the way that you're talking about being honest with it as someone who it has a following on the internet, you know that women look to you, and you know that the internet is a space for comparison. Being so unabashedly honest, I think, is just socially conscious and kind too.
Yeah, I just feel like, yeah, we're going to get, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Someone's aren't we always? We're women.
Yeah, someone's going to have something to say, and I stand by my decision in this. I feel like I am a good case study as somebody who has had so many body issues in the past and who is very careful how I alter my body in any way, shape, or form. I have like very thorough look into everything. So it worked for me, and it doesn't feel right to hide that just because I'm scared of somebody maybe having an opinion. And also, it's fair. I, like I said, I was super judgy when I heard people were on it too. So if anyone is listening to this and is like, oh, fucking course, another LA influencer taking a little medication to make them skinny, I get it. I was you too. But I do encourage people to like look into anything, into it a little bit more. Maybe not for you, but just to understand people who are on it, not just to get skinny.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And like, I so appreciate just how, like, one, how thorough and thoughtful you are when it comes to yourself and how you approach your life, but then also how it impacts the people who also pay attention to you. So yeah. I just want to say, like, it's, one, been so fun just chatting with you in general and hearing like more about your story. But I just like, I continue to feel so just admirable about how intuitive you are and thank how self-aware you are. And it's like, it's really, really beautiful, because I think a lot of what we want to talk about is a sense of like, just by understanding our bodies more, so much more can be uncovered. And you're such a perfect example of someone who's doing that really well.
Thank you. You guys just make it a really safe space to do so. Like, we don't have these conversations enough, even with our own friends a lot of the times. A lot of our own mothers don't teach us these things because they just don't even know about it. So I'm really glad that you guys are like taking this step to destigmatize it. Oh, I have a product idea for you guys. May I share it before we end?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So for Coachella, I made like a belly chain to hold a Rode lip gloss in it for
Bieberchella. Which you can see if you go to her Instagram and look at the ab photo, everybody.
You look a little down from the tummy and you will see it. But I was like, how funny would it be to wear this and put like a tampon in it? With a tampon! where you guys should do like full road copy where it's like a phone case, tampon, like anything, keychain, bag charm, tampon. Like,
wait, that is
putting them front and center.
And also, like, what if like a little tampon case, you know what it, like a little like gold case to put it in, but you still know it's a tampon. We're not hiding it, because I'm not trying to rep Kotex without a sponsorship, but
but just imagine like all the friends you'd make if someone's like looking for a tampon. Like, there's some actually around here wearing them around their waist, like
jewelry.
Like,
you have to go up to every girl in the restaurant and be like, do you have a tampon? You could just literally be like, oh, she's got the bag charm. She's the in-phase bag charm. I know she has one.
If anyone who is in product design is listening to us, please hit us up. Let's talk about how to get this into production.
Let's do it.
You made it though, Kim?
Made is such a loose term. I ordered a belly chain and I ordered like a little holder and I attached them together and like removed. So it was like a keychain. I removed a couple pieces.
That sounds like you made it to me.
It was me and some pliers attaching. I didn't make it like
you
from
had pliers?
Scratch.
Okay, yeah, you made it.
See, let's go.
Yeah, get your storefront up and rocking.
I'm a DIY girl now, guys.
Look at you.
Amazing.
Okay. All right. Well, that is one of the main takeaways that we're taking, that we are running with. But also everything that you shared in this episode, I think, echoing what Lauren said, thank you for sharing with us. It's just so nice to hear someone talk so openly, honestly, vulnerably, kindly.
Maybe a little too much sometimes.
You're in the right place, sister, to be talking too much.
Yeah. No such thing as too much.
Yep. No such thing as too much. No such thing as TMI. And that's the whole point of why we're here. So thank you so much. We love you so much.
I love you guys. Thank you.
Thanks everyone, for being here.
Cami, can you let everyone know where they can find you on YouTube now that you're starting vlogging again, on TikTok, on Instagram, on everything, on staying up? Plug yourself.
Yeah. I'm just at Cami Scott on all the socials, and then you can go at Staying Up Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Amazing. Everyone go follow Cami, go watch everything, go follow Taryn as well, and go listen to Staying Up Pod, and follow it just like you follow InPhase. Thanks, Cam. You're the best.
Thank you, guys.
So great. Thank you for being here. This was amazing.
This was the best night ever.
My God, we should do this every night.
Thanks for listening to In Phase, the Cycle Syncing Podcast. You can follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at In Phase Pod. Follow host Lauren Cortizo at Lauren Cortizo and Robin Dibovic at Robin Dibovic. Thank you to our producer and social media manager, Sydney Rojas. And be sure to follow, subscribe, and give us a rating wherever you listen to your podcasts.